Probably wondering why I'm wearing a mask today. I've got an infirmary at home, so I didn't want to spread the love. I did not want to spread the love. There's an infirmary at my house, so I am out of an abundance of caution protecting my lovely flock. Thank you so much for the gift, the cards, the flowers. I appreciate it. Both Joanne and Chris are home, not feeling well today, so I'm sure those flowers will perk Chris up immensely. What is going on with my Kindle here this morning? Kindle. Oh, he's up there. That's what's going on with him. Okay. Well, if you're Googling this morning, Miracle Mike, don't mistakenly Google Magic Mike. That might take you to a different site, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, okay? So Miracle Mike it is today. If you get bored and you want to watch a chicken run around with his head cut off, I don't know. So this morning we're continuing our series of messages in the book of Matthew. I almost forgot there for a second. No, in the book of Matthew. And this morning we're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. A section that if you've been around the church for a while is probably familiar to you. I've entitled my message this morning, I see some quizzical looks, a plank-eyed saint, right? You'll get the notion as I read the passage for you, but I want to begin with a question. Have you ever found yourself judging a person or a situation a certain way only to find after getting all the facts you've judged wrongly? Ever find yourself? I think we've all done that. I remember reading a story about a businessman in New York who boarded the subway for his morning commute, and as he got on the subway, he noticed a father sitting rather blank, with a blank look on his face, not really looking at anything. He had three children around him, very young. They were all running around, causing all kinds of trouble, throwing things, running up and down the aisle, screaming, and the dad was just sitting there as if, you know, he was oblivious to everything going on. Well, this businessman got more frustrated and frustrated and frustrated as you know, time went on. And so finally he went up to the dad and he said, "Man, don't you realize that your children are disturbing the people on the subway?" To which the guy kind of snapped out for a second. He said, "Oh, I'm sorry. We just left the hospital. My wife, their mother, just passed away. And you know, I'm rather in a fog. I'm sorry. I'll collect my children." You see, all of us at times have made snap judgments against people or situations or things that later on, again, when we get all the facts, we realize that, yeah, maybe we were wrong. You know, one of the things that Jesus talked about in his Sermon on the Mount as he was talking to the people and sharing with them and by the scripture with us was about judgment. You know, as we talk about being the people of God, partnering with God in His mission to redeem the world, as we talk about being missional, as we talk about moving out into the neighborhood, moving out, how we move out is as important as moving out into our neighborhood. Because oftentimes we can go out into our neighborhood as you know, maybe with the attitude of we're going to go save all those people, in an attitude of, you know, why aren't you doing this, or how can you allow this to happen, or what's going on? And we need to understand that it's important that we don't judge. I wonder if Jesus was, you know, as he was doing his sermon or his talk or whatever we call that, as he looked out in the crowd, he saw some Pharisees or some others that he understood were living a life of judgment on others. And so he began to share with them these words. He says, "Do not judge or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye?" He says, "You hypocrites. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." He goes on to say, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." You see, again, one of the challenges that we face in being a missional church is a perception that people have toward those of us who call ourselves Christian. And I've referred to, on several occasions, the book by David Kinnaman and Gabe Lyon, a book called Unchristian. And in that book, they mention a survey that they did amongst people who they relate, saying, in 2007, 87% of people surveyed said that Christians are judgmental. And additionally, they say that 53% of young Christians, hear me, young Christians in the church say the same thing, that Christians are judgmental. You see, to put this in perspective, when we introduce ourselves to people in our neighborhood and when we mention our faith, chances are one of the first things that they will think about you and me is that we are judgmental. Now, we can begin to argue with that and say, well, I'm not judgmental. I don't judge them, but the fact of the matter is their perception is that we are judgmental. And the fact of the matter is not very many of us, or some of us, don't give much doubt to that statement. And so we need to understand, first of all, the nature of judgment. What is judgment? And I love the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases verses 1 through 5 in Matthew 7. He says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless you, of course, want the same treatment. He says, that critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. You have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt. It's the whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. He says, wipe the ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. You see, folks, the truth is we make judgments all the time based on looks, based on what people are wearing, based on what people drive, based on their size or the color of their skin. And it's interesting to me how many times I've told people, you know, they ask me the question, what do you do for a living? And I say, well, I'm a pastor. And they look at me like, you don't look like a pastor. Like, what does a pastor look like? I think, you know, I'm picturing like a, 65, 70-year-old, I'm getting closer to that, you know, with gray hair and a scowling look on their face, you know, I don't know. What does a pastor look like? But they say to me, you don't look like a pastor. Well, I guess that's nice. But you see, judgment, we need to understand, has a lot to do with our attitude. Kinnaman goes on in his book to say that judgment is pointing out something that is wrong in someone else's life, making them feel put down, excluded, and marginalized. You know, often our judgmental attitude is fueled by some sort of self-righteousness or an attitude of moral superiority, where condemning others makes us somehow feel good about ourselves. Or it might even be in order to hide some of our own moral failure. You know, we as Christians, we often argue, well, I'm not being judgmental, I'm just pointing out the truth. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we're told in Ephesians 4:15 that we are to speak the truth in love. Folks, attitude matters. Attitude matters. And so does relationship with those that we speak the truth to. He says, speak the truth in love. Love implies that we have a relationship with those that we are speaking the truth to. You know, there's a phrase that I used to use, but I don't use it anymore. It's a statement that says, love the sinner, but hate the sin. And the truth is, many of those outside the faith don't believe that. They see us saying that statement, and oftentimes they see us kind of looking at people as their sin, right? Oftentimes that's code for us to say, you know, I really don't like you or your sin. And too often the problem is that we fixate on behavior and not the person. Let me say that again. Too often we fixate on the person's behavior, what they've done in the past or what they're doing now, instead of the person. You see, God is the judge and we are not. God sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And why then are we so eager to judge and condemn the world? You know, many of us, when we were raised in the church, memorized John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And we stop right there. And we don't go on to verse 17, which says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Folks, I don't know about you, but that's incredibly freeing to me. That's incredibly liberating, that I'm not the one who has to judge another person. That's God's job. God has given me the job to love him and to love others. That's my job. My job is to love them and not to judge them. Paul reminds us in Romans 2, chapter 1 through 4, of that very fact. He says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" Did you hear that? God's kindness, his patience, his love is what leads a person to repentance. It's not his judgment. It's not his threats of an eternity in hell. Now, that may lead someone to pray a prayer of forgiveness, but God asks so much more of us than that. God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to repent, and repent simply means to change directions, to agree with God. Not only to agree with God that I'm a sinner in need of salvation, which is so true, but to agree with God about everything that God says. To live our lives in lockstep with Jesus Christ and what he calls us to do. You know, I know a lot of people who have prayed a prayer of salvation and live like hell. Who have prayed a prayer of forgiveness but did not ask God to be Lord of their lives. You see, again, God's kindness leads to repentance. And dare I say that God is a God of tolerance? I mean, we can't talk about judgment without looking at the issue of tolerance. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about the truth about tolerance. Because another perception that we get as followers of Jesus today is that we are intolerant. And again, many of us don't do much to help that image. Nor does the way we define the word, or the world defines the word. I saw in the dictionary that tolerance is defined as the ability or willingness to accept something in particular, the existence of opinions or behaviors that one does not necessarily agree with. And so by its very nature, tolerance means that there is some disagreement, right? But the problem is society today says, if you don't agree with me, then you're being intolerant. You see, we need to understand that tolerance is a two-way street. To be tolerant, we need to have the freedom to disagree agreeably. The problem is, too often there's arrogance on both sides. The need to be right or to prove the other person wrong is so strong in our society today. And we need to understand that God is opposed to arrogance. God is opposed to us being proud, even taking pride in the fact that, hey, I have the truth. I know the truth. James 4, 6 says, "And he gives grace generously, as the scripture said, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to whom?" Who does he give grace to? The humble. He gives grace to the humble. Remember, Jesus said, again, do not judge or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Folks, we have to start seeing ourselves as those around, for people who we really are. Need to see ourselves and those around us for people who we really are. Needy and hurting, but with great potential as God's sons and daughters. And maybe then we'd reject arrogance as much as we do any other sin that we have in our lives. We need to start seeing people as people that God loves and that we ought to love as well. You see, we become like the Pharisees when we focus on the issue rather than on people, always seeing things as black and white rather than flesh and blood. Always seeing things as, you know, this is right and this is wrong, rather than flesh and blood. And I hear the argument in your head right now. I hear it loudly. Yes, but aren't we supposed to stand up for the truth? Well, here's the thing. God came, Jesus came, full of grace and truth. He led with grace before he ever spoke the truth. It's interesting, Jesus makes a statement at the end of this section, and mind you, you know, this was one long sermon. So Jesus wasn't, you know, making statements and then, you know, expounding on them like we do in church. But he makes an interesting statement as he moves further. He says, "Don't give what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." You see, Jesus was saying, yes, we need to... Whoop, did I go too far? Yeah, I did. All right. Yes, we need to speak the truth, but we need to do it in love. And we need to know how and when to speak the truth. You see, speaking the truth to someone who isn't ready to hear the truth is like Jesus said, throwing our pearls to the pigs, throwing what's valuable to someone who doesn't see the value in it. And oftentimes when we, as followers of Jesus, rush out to speak our truth or to speak God's truth to someone in their life without doing it with grace and with truth and with the Holy Spirit leading us, oftentimes what we do is we do more harm than we do good. More harm than we do good. We have to be open and sensitive to Holy Spirit. To not rush out and speak truth when Holy Spirit isn't prompting us or encouraging us or moving us to speak that truth in relationship. You see, truth spoken in the context of loving, non-judgmental relationships is the key. And thankfully, Kinnaman gives us some tips on how we do that. First of all, we need to, when we're approaching someone in a relationship who maybe sees things a little different than we do, or who maybe is living in a way that we feel the Scripture isn't encouraging them to live, we need to learn to listen more and to talk less. And why do we do that? We do that to get to know the person, to get to know their heart, to get to know why they've come to believe the things that they believe, or why they've come to live the way they live. I mean, there may be some abuse in their past. There may be some spiritual or other kind of abuse as well. We need to listen to people and talk less. Secondly, we need to stop labeling people. Putting people in neat little boxes never helps. You know, oh, those, you fill in the blank. I'm not going to help you today. Oh, those Democrats. Okay, I'll help you. Oh, those Republicans, oh, those, whatever. We got to stop putting people in boxes and start seeing people as people. And then he says we need to, he says, don't act so smart, pretending that we have all the answers figured out. We got to stop being arrogant as followers of Jesus. Stop thinking that we know everything. The Lord said to me, she found out something that not all Bible scholars agree on everything. I was shocked. I didn't know that. But it's true. How can people I'm always perplexed at how the Holy Spirit works. How people who profess, people who love Jesus can come out with such different conclusions. It's amazing to me. But I got to trust Holy Spirit that he's doing a work in a person's life who says, hey, Holy Spirit's doing a work in my life. I'm not God. I'm not judging. We got to walk a mile in a person's shoes. Sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes we don't want to do it because we've seen the shoes that they're walking in and looks like their road's pretty rough. And maybe that's the point. Walking a mile in their shoes. Fifth, we got to be genuine. We're not perfect. We got to stop acting as if we are. Acting as if somehow we've got all the revelation. And we're just here to bestow all of our great wisdom on others. We need to stop acting like we're perfect. Jesus says, when we judge, that same measure that we judge is has fallen on us. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in that. And then, number six, we got to reach out in love. And we got to understand that the friendship ought to be real. People know when we see them as projects or when we see them as true friends. You know, too often I've seen people who have rushed out to speak the truth, who are only looking to somehow make themselves feel better, or I don't know what it is, but looking at people as projects rather than looking at people as people. You know, Arthur Margaret Feinberg writes this very powerful and challenging statement. She says this, do you want to remove the unhealthy judgmentalism you have in regard to the poor? Make sure you have poor people who you love and welcome into your life. Do you want to remove the unhealthy judgmentalism you have in regards to homosexuals? Make sure you have gay and lesbians whom you love and welcome in your life. Do you want to remove the unhealthy judgmentalism you have in regard to our government? And I would add to those who are on the other side of the political spectrum that you are, she says, make sure you have people involved in politics, even if it's just on your local level, whom you love and welcome in your life. She says, then when you talk about issues, we won't just be talking about those things we care about, but people we care about. And the judgmentalism, well, it will actually begin to fade away like it did for the woman at the well or the woman caught in adultery and so many others that Jesus came in contact with. You see, Jesus didn't immediately, when he approached the woman at the well, begin to point out every single way in which she was not doing the right thing according to the Jewish law. He befriended her, asked for her for a drink, which was totally, totally out of the cultural norm. See, here's the thing. We need to ask ourselves this question. Do I have an unhealthy judgment against others? Others who I view as sinners. And, you know, you can name the sin, whatever it may be. But the truth is, we need to follow Jesus' example and get to know them. You see, when we start seeing others as we see ourselves, sinners in need of grace, then Holy Spirit's going to show us the right time and the right place to speak God's truth into their life. God's truth into their life. You know, we all need to ask ourselves the question, where in my life am I judging others? You know, this was highlighted very early on in the pandemic when these masks came out. And I found myself, because I kind of fell in the camp of thinking, hey, these things, you know, if they do some good, I'm going to try to do some good, right? And so I would see people who were walking in the store without a mask, and I would judge them, say, you know, don't they know that the governor said that we all ought to wear masks? And I would judge them. And I would stop and have to ask forgiveness for that. Because it's not my place to judge. It's my place to love. It's God's place to judge. Not mine. And so this morning, as we think about this topic of judgment, I just want to stop and pause and ask you to reflect. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's Holy Spirit saying to you this morning in terms of your own life and this issue of judgment? So here's a challenge. I actually got two challenges for you today. One I've written down and one I haven't. When you feel like speaking truth this week, check your motives. Make sure you're being led by the Holy Spirit and that you're speaking truth in love, grace and truth. And then the second one is this. When you feel yourself judging someone, and you will this week, just hold that judgment like you would, maybe out of body. Hold it like, you know, right here and say, why am I judging this person? What is it about them that's causing me to judge them? And then what is it about me that's causing me to judge them? What's going on inside of me that makes me think that I need to judge them, that somehow, you know, I'm better than them, I'm right, they're wrong? What is it about me? You see, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Can we at least humble ourselves enough to acknowledge that there's going to be times this week where we're going to judge people and we need to just take a look at what's going on in our own lives? Because Jesus said, look, at the point at which you judge, you will be judged. So wouldn't it be better just to try to do all that we can not to judge another? And simply to love? Let's pray. Father God, I know this is a challenging passage for me. Because as I was preparing this message this week, I was just reminded so many times by the Holy Spirit when I would begin to judge someone. And I'd be reminded of the passage of Scripture that I was preaching on today and feeling the Holy Spirit say, hey, Jerry, let me take the plank out of your own eye. And then maybe, just maybe, you can see enough to see what's going on in somebody else's life. Lord, I want to stand before my congregation today and just say, I'm sorry for the times in which I've judged. And ask Holy Spirit that you would lead us as a body, as we move out into our community, not to take off our judgmental glasses and go out in a spirit of humility, not thinking that somehow we've got all the answers, but going out knowing that what we have is Jesus. Jesus, who is God, who has the answers, who loves them, who desires a relationship with them. And if, Lord, if we can encourage people to get to know Jesus, that they'll find hope, they'll find joy, they'll find peace, they'll find truth, they'll find grace, they'll find all the things that we desire for them to have in this world, in a life that's lacking without Jesus. So Lord, as we go out, help us to go out in love, in grace, without judgment, to be like you. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.